super tidy little pecker fanging away, doing its thing.
Can I?
Yeah. Oh, hey there. Don't put the hat on. You're looking so lush. Oh, yeah. Just want to touch
it.
It's
been like months. It's just happening. I don't know.
It's great. I love it.
I haven't had my hair like this since like high school, and it's weird to see like little bits of gray. Like I actually see my hair getting blasted by a light over here. Getting old.
Aren't we all?
Get gray hair till the pandemic.
Yeah, I don't know. Kids definitely getting some. Definitely.
Your kids are getting gray hair?
No, causing me to get some.
Okay. Like, oh, you should get that checked out.
How are you?
Good. Lots going on. I like this. I feel like I'm in a rave over here.
Oh, yeah. You can do that, too.
Yeah. Lots of... I think we have, like, 6 products in development at the moment.
Whoa.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, kind of like 8 or 9. But, you know, will we get all those done? Probably not.
It's intense. Cool.
Ooh, look at the rave. I don't think I have a rave mode.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, too many pingers. Not enough coffee. How do you have that many products in development?
Well, I mean, it's like we've got them on an Airtable products development list, and they're in different stages. Like, I'm not working on all of them every week. Some that were like ready to launch, and then we got to like basically putting it on Shopify, and it's like, I don't really like it right now. Like, there's something that's just off. I just felt off, and I was like, nope, stop.
Interesting.
Yeah. Cat 50 tool tags. You ever seen? Still here, yeah.
Yeah, well.
It's hard to get the scale of it, I think.
Monster.
This is similar to, this is HSK.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about you?
Yeah, good. Just kind of riding off the back of a high. Robot day yesterday with John, which was pretty fun. Mm-hmm. Robots in the city and installs and bits and bobs. Yep.
Can we feeling put good. A song in there? Robots in the city. If only I could actually sing.
Just, yeah, if only you could sing and just like improv in real time. Yeah, no good. Where am I at? I was just looking at the show notes and I was like, whoa. I don't remember writing that. Was that less than a week ago? Sure, okay. I don't know. It's been a busy week, I guess.
Yeah. Definitely
got through a fair bit. No, things are good. It's the robots are starting to get exciting, having gone to visit them again. Another little conjugal visit yesterday with John, my machinist, and
words.
What?
You just said you had a conjugal visit with your machinist.
No, with the robots. No. John was there.
He's been gone a while, huh? Yeah. Laura. It looked fun. I saw your post about it.
Yeah, it was fun. So, very generous seller who's been... pretty amazing with his time, took John through a bunch of stuff and me again, and it's good to get another little refresher on just the basics, jogging and homing and re-zeroing axes and stuff, the different modes of operation, stuff like that. It's good. And it was pretty awesome to see the look on John's face when he kind of walked in and looked up at one of them. I was like, yeah. So it was fun. And yeah, and then we rolled on down to Twig and Bot. Hi, Lee. Yeah,
check so out jealous. Lee's
wild
all, setup. All of these things.
Mate. Yeah, Lee's setup's incredible. So it's a bit of a case of the random routing channel, though. It's like where do you find enough hours to like build an enormous control cabinet for all your tool changing chainsaws and bandsaws, and like, you know, he's come from a robotics background, and I'd love to get him on here for a chat at some point.
Super yeah, we should,
dude. But what, yeah, John.
Where is that his day job? Like, does Lee do this?
Yeah, it's
full time.
It's full time. Yeah,
I could never get the grasp if it was like an amazing side project.
Kind of feels like an amazing side project. But yeah, it's his full time thing. And yeah, John and I were just driving away, going, "Oh wow, okay, what are our key takeaways?" Well, most of that just feels completely inaccessible to us. Like, just everything in there was just
give it a year.
Heavy duty. Like, every steel fixture was like at least an inch thick and like beautifully machined. And like the A axis, the rotary axis in front of that setup is like 10 meters long or something stupid, like this enormous rotary that could hold an entire tree, which the robot has access to. Yeah, it's just crazy scale from an engineering point of view as well.
Right.
So, yeah, brains are full, starting to get exciting, talking to the robot seller today about when to start moving them. Maybe as soon as next week.
Are they ready to leave their mother?
Yeah. Yeah, they're ready to get unbolted. Just need to find a good rigger, crane truck operator to help me move them. Because they're heavy.
Do they have to come from Melbourne, probably?
Yeah, they're coming from Melbourne.
Right. Oh, they are coming, right. Okay. I meant the rigger. Like, I assume you don't have riggers.
Rigger will be Melbourne based.
In local. Yeah. Probably not too many.
Yeah.
Or you can just find, I'm sure there's a, is there like a farmer with like a, like a sweet front end loader that you can just like.
Probably. Yeah. Bring in hill people.
I had a visitor. Come by, a customer / local maker come by, and we're going through a tour of the shop and talking about robots and how cool they are, and I was like, yeah, I mean, you could potentially put one in like our mill room, right, if we move the mill somewhere else, to kind of, we're talking about containing like how chaotic the you know, dust could be, or like, you know, all the stuff, and talking about how strong they were, and I had this visual of like the room does absolutely nothing to protect you from the robot. Like, it's just, you just poke right through. Like, it was like a piece of cellophane, just whack you with its whatever it's got on the end of it.
Yeah. I've been wondering about that guarding and how solid it needs to be. Cause yeah. Do you have to actually build a physical cage that can contain it at full payload, full rapid? Because that starts to get
1-inch steel,
so intense. So yeah, nice to see different ways of doing it. Lee's got a pretty cool overhead laser scanner that like he stops the whole area, and it's a nicely contained zone.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, different approaches.
Cool.
What else do I know? It's cold. I'm packing a few orders on Friday morning. Is your, you heat your shop during winter, surely. I've asked you this before. Yeah.
It stays... We have a remarkably stable interior space. Like, it does get... We let it get a little cooler at night, and I heat it in the morning again. It's been, like, 26, 27 Celsius here. So, I can't imagine it being cold at the moment. It's gotten warm, finally. We're inverting our climates, as we do.
Yeah. No, it's near freezing out in the workshop, and I was just lasering up some warning tattoos on some shelves that are going out today. Local pickup. Ben wants a tattoo. I'm like, no, Ben, not a good idea. Think of the future ramifications. He's like, no, I'll just go. I'll go to the butcher and I'll buy some meat and we'll test on that first.
Did people ever do those? Like, in my high school, my farm-centric high school, there was these big older dudes in my high school that played football that would scar themselves, like, instead of tattoos, like lighters.
So gruesome. So cool.
Right? You imagine, you know, give it 5 years and you're going to go, why did I do that? Because it's like, it gets like thick, you know? I don't know if you've seen this before.
Yeah.
It's like,
just add salt.
Can't laser that off.
But yeah, the little laser engraver is proving to be good.
Super. The pecker.
Tidy little pecker. Fanging away, doing its thing. Pecking that plywood. Yeah, I like it. I can recommend. Although they sent me a better one than what I ordered. Don't know if that was an out of stock issue, bonus free upgrade, or a drop shipping mistake. Don't know, but I realized after about a day of running, I was like, hang on. I looked at the box again. I was like, yeah, this is a better one. It's got an extra thing in it, and it does things and stuff. Cool. Okay.
Like an extra diode or something?
Yeah, it's got an extra diode.
Dang.
Mm.
Nice. Yeah, that doesn't happen all too often.
Yours is
Amazon
CO2?
Sent me some wrong stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
How often do you have to replace your tubes?
Hopefully never, but I don't know. I haven't yet. The goal that I understand is you typically want to underpower and cut more passes, and that the less power you're pushing of 100%, the longer the tube lasts, or the maintenance item, whatever it is. I think it's the tube.
Yeah, makes sense.
How do you know the tube's done? Does it just not work?
I don't know. No idea. I've never used a CO2. This is my first time lasering anything.
Yeah. In that case, like, just so you don't go blind, like, right, it does protect it well from viewing it, right?
Yeah, it's got a little orange plastic guard. And then it's got cool orange glasses, which I should have worn for the pod. They're pretty rad. But I don't know. Yeah, don't look at it, right? Just don't look at the dang laser.
That worry me about the cheap stuff. Mm. I remember somebody talking about that like there were and are, I believe, laser cutters on like Amazon that come from Asia somewhere that have zero shielding. It's almost like they're like a little 3D printer, and maybe they have warnings on them, but basically, like, you should put that in something that's got the right shielding, and people just probably don't. They probably should put it on their desk and go, let's laser,
let's go. Yeah, the light coming out from under the guard is pretty bloody intense, even off this little thing. I can imagine it can mess up your eyesight pretty quickly.
But you keep it like, yours is like set on the thing, or you kind of like bring it down like a microscope, right? Like on a stand thing?
Both. You can either, jog it down, or just like, punk, park it on the, directly on the shelf, which given the scale of things we're doing, we just park it and pick it up and put it on the bar. But starting to print little fixtures and jigs and things. We will get to some product branding. That's the next thing to sort out. At the moment, it's just the legal stuff, getting the warnings on there. But I've started mucking around with a little bit of product branding, engraving the side of some Peter Parts tails.
My reality check question, I suppose, is like, how viable is this for a production? Like, is one, if you had to make two sets of shelves, is it like all day of lasering?
I'm doing a big warning label that's about the size of my face, and it takes 7 minutes, I think, to zap it, which is fine.
I could see you upgrading it. Some every shelf needs this.
No, one. Oh, we're just doing one per order.
Okay, I was gonna say, dude.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
If it was every shelf,
it's so much time.
No.
Right.
No, we're just doing one per order. You know, one of the bottom shelves underneath, customer sees it when they unpack it and put it together, and then they'll never see it again. Basically. Yeah. And when their great grandson inherits the shelves and pulls it apart and reconfigures it, they'll see it again and again. Because it's permanent.
They're gonna go, look at these old things where they thought this would help people. Remember when there were so many lawyers in the world? and then they all got eaten.
They all got eaten.
I don't have anything against lawyers to date. They're expensive.
Shout out to my sister. Yo.
Oh god. Oh no.
It's okay, I don't think she listens.
I did a little video what's up?
On what? No. Please. Video on what?
Oh, it's yours is a better segue.
No, it's not.
But I did a little video. It was a little project I did to organize a cabinet in my, just off my kitchen, where I had all these tools inside of it. Kind of like, we're just like constantly still finishing house projects, and I was, stuff that didn't make it out to my garage, just different little power tools, a little Dyson vacuum, and it was just like piled in the cabinet without shelves in this one space. And I was like, I need to like hang these up. And so I think I mentioned this before. Like I modeled the Milwaukee Packout thing and made a sheet metal version. And Fabworks sponsored or paid for that being made. And so I made a little video to show that. Yeah, it's cool. It's nice. It's clean and tidy. And the video is doing absolutely horrible in terms of views. It's like, you know, when you do a video, I think it's like 8 of 10 right now of my last 10.
Yeah.
Just brutally low. 9 of 10.
It's weird seeing your like office view in your YouTube videos, because I don't know if you're mirrored now or you're mirrored in this, but like it's a different, different orientation.
Right.
It's like, well, Justin's been flipped it inside out.
I looked at that today because I noticed that too. Do you see like the logos behind me as backwards?
No. I see them correct in this view, but they're mirrored in YouTube.
That's wild.
Strange.
Right. So like, I think I've thought about that and fixed it in the past, but anyway, yeah, it's coming out funny.
You know, when you know someone quite well, I've looked at your face a lot, and then you see their face in it's the mirror. And it's like,
oh yeah, all right.
What's wrong?
Well, it's like when you have kids, you immediately, because they have no hair, you see how misshapen their heads are, right? And you're like, oh, That's not symmetrical at all. Like, what's going on there? And then I was like looking at my son's head and I was like, oh, that's just like my head. One side is lopsided.
So I know what your answer is going to be, but I'm curious to explore what form that should take. I want to document this robot robot journey. Should this be the tipping point where I actually put some effort into YouTube, or do I just continue Instagram stories?
Well, you're gonna get nothing out of the Instagram stories, but it's nothing. Also easy.
So easy.
I mean, you're going to engage people for the sake of the 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say maybe half of that time each time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then in the end, even to talk about it again and reference it, it's like, it's kind of just gone. So if you can, I think it would be impactful in terms of long-term payback for you and brand awareness. And that, I mean, everything is about YouTube anymore. It's like all YouTube driven, like it's bigger than all the streaming platforms basically. So if there's a way that you haven't engaged to grow your customer base, it's probably there, right? Like,
well, yeah, okay.
For free, like you're not paying to get in front of those people, you're paying your time. So
okay, so I document,
even if they don't want the product, they may go be talking to their friend in the coffee shop in Melbourne and go, hey, did you see that guy? He makes stuff with robots, but he makes these really great shelves. And they're talking about, I need to redo my living room. It's like,
yeah, gets around. Yeah. No, I get that. How much effort should I put in? Like, you've expressed that you want more content to watch.
Well, you make amazing videos. I would say maybe do it like, I mean, I would take any of it just as a viewer myself. I think that you could do it more like a vlog where it's like low effort, and then do like recap videos every once in a while that like tidy it up and put effort into those so that you're not like continuously, just from having done a pretty regular vlog for a bit of time, it's enough on its own. Not that it needs to be daily or anything, but just like, you know, if you do one a week or something, like here's what I worked on, just kind of turn the camera on and I don't know.
Okay.
8 minutes.
8 minutes, you say? Okay.
That's the minimum for getting advertising dollars. Like getting Instagram ads, which is like, that's the tipping point. It used to be 10 minutes. And everything's gone long form anymore. Everybody's doing long videos, but you have to keep the engagement up the whole time. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I just try to make videos so that you don't lose people, which apparently my latest one does not do that. What's the engagement right now? I'm interested. I'm excited that you are somewhat interested in it. Just for my own.
I'm considering it.
Entertainment.
It feels like a good opportunity. I know that I'll document it, but the minimum viable is Insta stories, but it seems like a bit of a wasted opportunity if that's all I do. And I feel like I should probably commit to making more of an effort than that. I'm also just making content, so I'm a bit wary of sort of committing, but it seems like a good opportunity to sort of reinvigorate that side of things. I feel like I should.
I think you'll get a lot of positive engagement such that you will have the joy of wanting to make more because people are like, this is so great, I love what you're doing. Like,
yeah,
I want to follow along and or have feedback that might be helpful if you're struggling through different aspects of it. Like, there's going to be a lot of smart people that will be attracted and get shown that content, likely.
Okay. Let's do it. Let's go.
Whee! I'll come. I'll call, fly down. We'll film.
You'll film? Okay, cool. Film some stuff for me. Sick. That'd be good. Just pop over. Mm-hmm. Be fun.
It's like 17 hours or something. Flight PDX to Melbourne.
Has to be landscape. I can't remember how to shoot in landscape.
Turn the camera.
I can't remember how to frame shots in landscape. It's been so long.
Okay. Somebody was taking photos at my son's like daycare type thing with a real camera of this little event that they had, and like a real camera with like a, you know, basically an SLR camera, and he was scared of the camera. And I had such a reaction to like, oh my God, I haven't even brought a real camera out in front of him. Like, his phones are just so good that he doesn't understand what that is. And is like, are you going to suck my soul out with that? Like, what is that clicky, weird, shiny screen? You know, like, and it kind of blew my mind. Like, thinking back to like my childhood was my grandfather with a giant shoulder VCR tape video camera filming us. Which is probably also scary.
Sick. Yeah, my grandpa had one of those too. Super 8 cameras, old VHS cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, pretty rad. I've still got a few Super 8s tucked away somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, it's minimum 19 hours for me to get there. One stop.
Okay, not too bad. Pop out in a day.
Up to 24 hours.
See you for breakfast
tomorrow.
It's
not that bad, actually. It's cheaper than I thought it would be. business expense?
Yeah, but then you start packing in Aaron and the kiddos.
Yeah, gets expensive.
Gets expensive. That's
true. I mean, ever since I started talking to you, and I have my other real good friend in Australia, she's been like, we need to go to Australia. She's just like, any excuse possible to travel.
Well,
you got to see all them, right?
That's why I keep sending you cute kangaroo and wallaby videos, just trying to entice you like that.
Right. Just keep the scary stuff away. Don't show Aaron the spiders.
Okay. YouTube. Here we go.
YouTube! We'll put a subscribe link right here.
Okay, yeah. Do it. Put in the link. Put in the show notes.
ButterTube.
Okay, so I've got some AI coding updates, or I've got some Profit First updates, or...
Oh, got sounds for this.
What do you want? Got some buttons?
Slowly get to my buttons that are hidden off the screen here.
Got some buttons for me, Justin.
Did I put that in here? They're so unorganized like this.
Press the button.
We actually don't have
press
that.
The damn button.
What's new in Software Corner?
Okay. Pretend I just played the ChatGPT one.
Okay.
Put a marker in.
Aha. Boom. Claude 4. Have you tried it yet?
Yeah. You were talking about how good it was. Or maybe I saw your note and then I tried it. And realized that Cursor was using some random other one that just gave me an hour of junk, just absolute trash. And then I tried 4 and I was like, oh, first shot, done.
Fixed, yeah. That was my experience. I had been... Part of the reason I hadn't done the add to cart functionality in the configurator, the builder, the Kitaparts builder, was because I'd had this ongoing issue where the program couldn't solve where to put feeding caps when there were voids in the design. So if, you know, the user built something and then created a bit of a sort of internal cavity, say for a TV, I couldn't get it to like auto place caps and feet within an internal void. And I'd stuffed around for hours and hours, you know, a month ago trying to solve it with Cursor. Had made no progress. And so I just gave up. And like, I didn't want to do add to cart until that was solved, because it would, every order basically would often have errors with part counts in it. Anyway, Claude 4 came out I'd been chatting to a customer that night who'd texted me because of some issues with his order, and I'd helped him resolve it. And then he was like, oh, and fix that bug in the configurator where the bookends are hidden, blah, blah. I was like, cool, thanks. Well, Claude 4 just came out, so I'm going to jump into Cursor right now. And I didn't fix that bug, but I got distracted. But I was like, cool, what can this do? This is my current biggest problem. I briefed it, sort of dictated a long paragraph of what the problem was and the issues I'd been having. Single shot. Yep. Bang. Thank you very much.
Did it do a lot of like refactoring over and over, or did it just give you like one answer?
I can't remember in that particular answer. I noticed it doing a lot of refactoring that night as I was working through stuff.
Yep.
I can't remember what it did in that particular instance, but yeah, it does seem to, the way they've built that cursor agent, but the way it works at the moment does seem to backtrack and refactor a bit, which is interesting.
There's a lot that goes on when I'm trying to like commit to GitHub, where it is, there's all these like auto, what are they called? It's like checkers, little checkers to make sure that everything works that's built in. Mm-hmm. Not to Cursor, but to linting. Linting is what it's called.
What the
and
hell is that?
It basically checks to make sure there are little scripts that make sure that things are like right syntax and that it works within your project, and kind of like minimal error checking. And it's crazy to watch Cursor go through with like Claude, you know, and like check itself and then talk about like what it's doing. Oh, actually I need to go back and look at this, and it's like
it's chatting away
like
to itself the whole time.
A person could not do it like this. It is just, it could do it, but it couldn't do it in a minute. How many different files it touched and went through and fixed and checked itself and
pretty wild. That night, Friday night, I think it was, Laura was working late on a sculpture commission that she's working on, which has got a, she's basically making a VR telescope that you look through and you see the environment where the telescope is, but in an animated version of it. And you can move the telescope around, and the video, there's a Samsung tablet inside this device that pans like 3D video. And I'd already spun up, I'd already done like a create with code single shot 3D video viewer in Sim Theory a few weeks ago, just to be like, hey, you don't need to use YouTube. You can just, I'll make you an offline app. Mm-hmm. And that had worked just as a proof of concept. And so that night I was like, wow, Claude 4's here. Why don't we just make you an actual proper Android app that you can just load onto this tablet and can run entirely offline, doesn't have to be in a browser. Like, let's write an app from scripts and deploy it onto this tablet. Maybe 2 hours of stuffing around. And I had the tablet just plugged in via USB-C, and Cursor was doing all the, like, the comms and debugging direct to the tablet. Like, it could speak to the device. It was compiling the Android code from, like, 16 files and flashing out whatever the terminology is.
You could like have like a webcam pointed at it, and it could just like watch it too. Like, although it can see what's happening.
That'd be cool. Anyway, admittedly, it's a very simple thing. It's just a 3D video, but just like the whole compiling process, the debugging. I don't know. It was pretty impressive.
No kidding.
I'm now at a point, I got that night, I stayed up a bit later and I got it to a point where it was working and loading, and there's a few little bugs in it which I have to go back and fiddle with, but it's pretty close. Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Android, I haven't touched an Android tablet in like a decade at least. I don't really use tablets, I guess. How do they? Are they just? They just let you put apps on them?
Yeah, like it's any called app? Side loading. You can just turn on developer settings, enable some stuff, and then just stick an app straight on it.
You have to like do anything special though.
Don't think so. No.
Interesting.
Just worked. I'm super curious about whether you can do that with an iPad. Probably not, but
if you're, I think if you have some developer mode, what do you call that? There's some way you can live develop your app in something. I don't think you have to do anything too crazy, but just curious how that worked. If like, cool, that's amazing. It's like
pretty nuts.
Like you with no, similar to me, like no true coding capability, just made an app for that like works and isn't a disaster, and it didn't take 6 months to figure out even how to start, you know, like
Well, I like Rick Rubin's vibe coding is the new punk rock. Did you see the thing debris
custodian?
Custodian.
Right. That's good. I agree. Yeah, there was a little bit of discussion on a company that has used vibe coding largely to create their product, and there was a debate I was reading of whether or not that was whether you should trust that or not to use that product. And I was like, I mean, I have, and it worked well. So like, you know, like what would I want somebody to like operate a robot doing surgery on me that's vibe coded? Absolutely not. But like, that's not what this is.
Yeah.
I mean, congrats on the cart. I feel like that went from being very big hurdle mentally to like, oh, that's fine. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yeah. And someone used it the other day and it's like, I couldn't even tell. And then I went digging in Shopify. I was like, oh, yep. No, they definitely just did the thing and it worked and added the discount code automatically. But then I had another customer say that they had issues with it and they just sent me their configuration. So don't know. All the testing I've done, it's worked for me, but.
Right.
Yep. We'll see. I'm going to track it because like I've got like the first 3 months I've got how much we sold when it was all manual. And then I'll look at how it progresses from here in terms of whether that actually helps having a cart or hinders in terms of conversion.
Are you doing the tracker product thing?
No.
Are you like auto add something to cart?
I haven't worked out how to do that yet.
Yeah.
Need to do that. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Oh, someone subscribed to me on YouTube. Thanks, Justin.
I subscribed to two things called Like Butter. I don't know how I didn't on that account. I guess I don't use my... I don't watch two most things on my business account. There was another thing called Like Butter that I subscribed to, too. But it was like Like Butter 12/64/7/3, and I was like, what the hell is this?
Oh, that's not us. Yeah.
Like an impersonator.
I think it's something skate YouTube channel or something. I can't remember what that is.
Dang it.
Oh, well.
And now it's profit time.
Oh, he found his buttons. Good on ya.
I know that one.
Cool. Yeah. What happened this week? Things and stuff. Oh, yeah, tax. The joy of our lives.
Tax.
It was quarterly tax payout time last week, this week, sometime in the last week. And there was almost within $100, there was almost exactly the right amount of money in the tax account from the quarter. And yes. Laura and I did a little happy dance for how well that was calculated in the in the spreadsheet.
Right.
Because that's nice. Like, it's GST, it's Pagey, it's like three or four different forms of payroll tax and income tax and blah, blah. And like, yeah, it all just
crazy.
Sucked all the monies in. And because it's all just calculated as a percentage of revenue, basically, it doesn't matter that some weeks distribution were low and some were high. Like, it all just works out. And it was like, it was just in there. Such a pleasing thing to have that system in place. And again, last all, night. All, that, yeah. Oh, what?
Sorry.
No.
Sorry, no, right. You're done.
No, right.
I was going to say it's all percentage based, but it worked out just right.
It worked out just right. Yeah. It's quite complex. Like, I couldn't have written what Laura's written in Excel. All the auto calculating tax rate nonsense. Well beyond me. But yeah, whatever she did worked well.
Cool.
And again, last night paying our like work cover insurance, just so pleasing to be like, cool, yep, there's money in the insurance account. Great, we can pay that bill.
It's amazing. It's so like, I guess my question on how you're getting that pulled off right is like, I kind of, let's say, over calculate those things, or I try to get close where I think it, and I had this, so gave feedback a few times to Mercury, that bank I've been using, on how I'd like to see the auto transfers work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because basically they allow a couple options and it's not very, very much. And I thought, well, this probably won't happen. And they contacted me and they're like, hey, do you want to do like a, kind of like I have with Fusion. They're like, do you want to do like a software feedback user conversation? Oh, yeah. And I was like, yeah, sure. Cool. And so they listened really well and like told me that they have all these new options coming for how they're going to do transfers. And like a lot of the ones I use right now are just based on percentages. And I was like, well, it'd be really great if I could have like an if then kind of statement where it's like, if this account is this low, then do this kind of thing. And so I don't know, this seems like they're pulling out a lot more options for us, which is great. But like, are you doing that such that it's all just percentages from your income, or do you have like a minimum maximum kind of like has to be in the account or like,
no, it's all just calculated at the spreadsheet level. I put in my, you know, my distribution, I put in my revenue for the week. I put in, yep, the distribution period, like whether it was 6 days or 7 days or 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's all auto-calculated from there. So, you know, some of them are just purely percentage-based of like, cool, OpEx right. is X percentage of that revenue figure, whereas yep. ones like the GST tax
right.
More, had the Laura's written more complex things going on in the background in terms of how that percentage is calculated. But yeah, there's nothing too fancy. It's just, you know, calculating okay. tax rates correctly.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty pleasing. We were chatting last night about like what Butter did prior to this, where we'd had an annual budget and the annual budget was based on what we thought we were going to make for the year and then how we were going to spend the money for the following 12 months and just how potentially problematic that is in terms of like, you know, we used to do things like, oh, we said in the budget we're going to buy a laptop for so-and-so. I guess we better buy that laptop. And it's not...
kind of big company-like, yeah.
Yeah, it's not based on like how much money there is in the account. On actual sales, right. It's like, oh, well, this is what we said we're going to do, so let's do it. Yeah, okay. So just, yeah, this just feels like it's a much healthier system. That's not perfect.
I would imagine that feels your old way of doing it feels like there's, it's smart and you're planning ahead, so you should trust your planning self.
Yeah, yeah.
I can totally see that feeling good. I've never felt like I could look ahead that far. I'm getting more and more that way, where it's like I don't have budgets planned out for the year by any means, but yeah, it's I can see the feeling being good. My little profit first bit that's been nice is had a great month sales, kind of boosted by our annual sale at the beginning of the year. So I'm a little bit hesitant to go like, oh yeah, June's going to be great too, because I'm like, well, there's no sale happening. Like, what happens now? But we've been driving a lot of just good sales after the fact still, like with, I don't know, some, I started using that. I set up a thing that people could make an appointment to like talk about product, like upgrade options that they might want, and do like a video call or like meet in person or something like that. And I've had a couple uses of that, really drove some nice sales. So it's like,
cool.
There is some sales effort rather than my normal, like, you know, put a website up and they'll come kind of thing. But I've currently paid myself. Let's make sure I do the math here right. I've paid myself 70% of what I did last year, which is more of a commentary about last year, I think, but this year too. But it's strongly driven by profit first, I think.
As and in, just we're in general, only, good we're sales. Less than 50% of the way through the year, and you're already up to 70% of what you did last year.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Cool.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's definitely been a huge intention of. For my family, especially, just like can't, you know, with a kid now, can't run quite like I did. It's easy enough sometimes to run too much like a like an Amazon before the profit. You know, just keep dumping money into the business and like rely on my wife's salary or something like that. And so it's been it's been nice to go the other way, where it's like, no, I have to make this amount of money, and I am putting away. Just like I continue to think, my friend told me about profit first. Like, what do you mean? That's insane. I can't just put money on the side. I have to pay the bills. Put the money away before I spend it, I suppose. And that seems to be working really well. So,
yeah,
broken records for that. I did talk about profit first a decent amount with the Mercury designers and developers, which they were kind of like. They knew about it, but they were, I was like, does it sound like a cult? And she was like, well, she was really overly nice about it. But I was like, yeah, I think she thinks it's a cult.
Cult.
I mean, given that they have that system in place for doing like auto distribution within their thing, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyone who's really...
Yeah, it just depends on...
Yeah, I don't... Yeah.
On that specific person that might know about it, though, right?
No, like, I know. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. It's just the bucket system. Like, there's plenty of examples of bucket systems in money management.
Right.
Right? We're not in a cult.
Yeah, we're at...
What are you talking about?
We're at 41% of the year right now, I guess.
Cool. Good numbers. Nice one.
I've been paying myself more consistently and increasing it, which is nice. And again, not much. And the profit numbers, I think the quarterly profit are what really make the biggest change, is having a percentage I use to pay off debt, but then a person I use to just pay myself a bonus every quarter. That wasn't even conceivable. That would have felt like I was stealing, you know, like almost from the business before. Like, what are you doing? You need that money for buying widgets.
Yeah, I haven't looked at like monthly numbers at all. I'm so obsessed with the weekly thing. I have no concept. Like, I feel like this month was good, but I haven't actually gone and looked. In zero at what it's like.
Yeah, I need to tidy mine up too.
Yeah. To get on that. But yeah, cool. Things and stuff, I don't know. I had a thought during the week. I just wanted to, I think I just edited this last episode and had listened back and just wanted to say thanks for initiating this whole thing.
Hmm.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm glad we did it.
Glad you received it. Yeah. Me too. Instead of like, yeah. I don't know how I would have felt about some guy from another country going, do you want to have a podcast or do you want to talk? You know, like, like just, it's a, it takes, you know, I guess it does make sense that you take calls off your website from the world just so freely too. It's the same person as a compliment. Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love doing this too. Like organize my week, you know, decently. I don't have a lot of other scheduled things, so I organize my timing around this. So And you come in on the weekends half the time.
Sometimes. It's a good excuse to get out of bed early.
Are you still doing Fridays off? I don't think you do, but the team does?
No, the team does, and I do. Ben shifted his hours because he's got a little one. He works Friday morning, so he does shorter days during the week for like kid pickups and stuff, and then makes up hours Friday morning often.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, officially the business is still closed on Fridays. We're currently recording this on Friday morning, so I'm often poking around early Friday morning, but then I'll go off and do kid stuff and not, you know. Yeah. So no, it's, you know what it's like. You're always kind of on and off the clock, regardless of what day it is. But for the most part, yeah, we're still doing the 4-day week.
Right.
And
cool.
Yeah, it's good.
In a weird way, I guess I have been too. Ever since we got into this daycare, where we have Fridays, where Aaron and I share watching our little one at home, which is just. So active and so wild now that it's like you get nothing done if you were the one in charge of watching. It is just, you're getting hit by blocks and like it's just, I just not really prepared as late 30s people with a quiet house otherwise for the chaos that exists now. Trying to like block my laptop from getting a tractor thrown into it. But yeah, it is kind of interesting to like, I mean, have a day off. Basically, it's like I work kind of like 4 days and then sporadically in between a little bit more. But it's I've kind of joined your schedule.
The cult. 4 day
join
cult.
The Yoo! Cult. The 4 day profit first cult.
That's right. Yeah.
Isn't there like a. Is this based on the, what was that guy's name? I have his book. Ferris? The Ferris book? Is that what you do? Is that Ferris your Bueller. Genesis for it?
No, good. Yeah. No, that book grosses me out. The
Ferris Bueller's
what's that
book,
called?
Yeah.
The 4-Hour Work Week. That book.
Yes.
Yeah, I probably read that like 10 years ago or something. There's some concepts in it which I found useful, but for the most part, I'm not a Ferris Bueller fan. The
Tim Ferriss.
No, the 4-day thing was.
Let's call it the right person
thing
here.
Was started by Sarah because we couldn't afford her to hire full time.
Right.
She was like, "Well, just employ me 4 days a week," and then that kind of just the business morphed from there. And like, yeah, this is better. Let's all do this.
I swear, the first time I heard about a business doing 4-day week. It was a while ago, and I swear it was an Australian company, like way before I knew you. Doing all the right things.
Yeah.
Hey, our tariffs went away, I think. We finally had a court, federal court, that was like, this is stupid. You can't do this. This is a Congress thing. Struck basically all of them down. So we'll see what happens in the world when we whiplash back the other way again.
Bloody hell. Wow. Okay. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour ago, US court blocked Trump's tariffs.
1 hour ago.
Says this article.
I heard that yesterday.
Well, the article's written there an hour ago.
Cool. Okay, right. I thought you meant like that was the timeline.
No, no, no. Cool. Okay. See what happens, eh?
No. Appeals court pauses ruling that blocks Trump tariffs.
Oh. No,
so now we've paused the ruling on appeal.
Yeah.
Why would be? Can you imagine? I'm going to see the stock markets. I bet it's just going like...
Oh, my God.
God.
Cool. All right. Anything else?
All right. No.
Onwards and upwards.
I don't think so. There's a video I haven't watched yet. I found of Jem. We'll see if I put it in the show notes or not. By Alexis talking
video.
To me. Have you seen this thing?
What video?
Oh, is that your old multicam? Did you have a multicam before the multicams?
No. Are you watching that OpenDesk video? That you put.
Yes.
No, that's Cameron. That's Cameron.
Oh. Hmm. Is that a different tool changer?
Nah. Justin's dug up a video from, I don't know, 7 years ago in our old workshop in Kensington.
I searched,
yeah, that's Cameron. Linear tool changer
on the front. I
searched
Like Butter Melbourne, and I couldn't find your account. And then I put in Gem, and I got this video.
Wow, that's so much.
And then I found your real account.
I look way more slept. That was pre-children. A year before child. Ha, there you go. Cool.
Look at those little sticks. All right.
Okay. That's a good one.
Gem before kids video. That's what we'll call that.
Looking fresh fixed.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Ding dong.
That's good timing.